Let's go. Welcome to the Champions League post-game show, The Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco with my guest co-host, Stefano Fasaro. Stefano, what's up, man?
What's up, man? This is kind of has become an interim funeral here. It's a post-mortem. It's not really a...
Bro, I got my eulogy written down right here.
Holy hell, what a beatdown that was we just saw.
But we're excited to do this live on YouTube. But this is an exciting time because this is the first time we've done something live. Alexis, the normal co-host.
Yes.
Of the cool again.
I'm feeling it for him.
I called in the replacement Cuban. I said, bring him in.
It's got to be one Cuban for another, bro. We can't, you know what I mean?
I don't know if you were lefty or righty, but I brought him in. Alexis is at a wedding.
Champions League final day. That's a bad look. That's a bad look.
This is a sign. This is how you know that marriage is not going to last.
Yeah, it ain't going to work out.
I know the people getting married. I hope it works out. So we're excited to do this. Talk about this game. We're doing this live on YouTube. Shout out to Michael Raymond, Kyle Ritchie, Ben Skolnick. We got a couple people in the chat already. So please let us know your comments and thoughts throughout this broadcast. But yeah. Let's begin right where we need to.
Yeah, man.
A 5-0 drubbing. PSG win the Champions League. And without Mbappe, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But, I mean, we just finished watching the game. What first thoughts, Stefano?
First thoughts is it's historic, right? It's a historic loss for Inter Milan. We haven't seen anything like this. No team in the Champions League era has ever conceded 5 goals in a final.
Right.
We haven't seen that in any European final since 1962.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is historic. I don't think anybody expected this. I think there was definitely a lot of people who had PSG as this dominant force attacking. But everyone kind of wanted to say, especially prediction-wise, everyone wanted to say, oh, but it's... Inter's defensive prowess and their veteran.
Me too.
I said it on the air this morning. My prediction looks real dumb right about now. But, I mean, a fantastic performance from PSG. They are miles ahead of this Inter side. And you saw it right from the start, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't a game from the beginning.
You would think because Champions League, right? As soon as you reach that bar of Champions League, that the games, these are the champions of all your domestic competitions, it'll be at the very least competitive and close. And for the final to turn out the way it did, it felt like... PSG is facing a team, the champions of Romania or something like that.
legit.
Like it's hard to believe, especially with the matches that that Inter Milan had to get to this final, especially most recent, obviously in like Barcelona,
right?
To be able to put in that kind of performance and not just. You could argue tactically they got things wrong because they gave up as many goals as they did, but. You know, to find the heart, to find the faith, to score the goals that they did and get to this final and just immediately not show up. Where we were talking earlier about the average age, of PSG, of PSG. What was the age difference, Carter?
5 years, 146 days.
Right.
Okay. So
the average of about over 30 years old for the Inter Milan starting lineup at an average of just over 25 for PSG.
And you would think that isn't that big of a difference, but there are some players that are a little bit older that skew that average a little bit.
Yeah, if you were watching at the end there, if you're watching Acerbi, the center back, he's 37 years old. He looked every bit of 37 years old at the end of that game when Barcola absolutely put him on his ass in the box. So it wasn't looking good for him.
It's surreal. We can talk about how good PSG are. We know the quality and they've shown it. They haven't even shown it throughout the entire the league phase, but in that knockout round, and then Kvaratskhelia joined the team, everybody was just like, "Yo, we got to all step up." But we're still kind of in shock. It's difficult. We'll start with the bad with Inter Milan because it seemed like they were focused on one particular thing. That was Federico Di Marco. They were like, "Hey, I think." This is the guy we're going to go after.
Yeah.
And the first two goals, he's a part of. He's a reason why they went in.
Direct reason why those goals ended up in the back of the net. It's tough, right? DeMarco, for a long time, has been one of the best wingbacks in all of Europe. But clearly more on the back end, right, of the best moments of his career. But you saw him make some terrible decisions.
The first goal.
What are you doing there, right?
You, like, why are you running? You play on the...
He's marking Hakimi, who ends up scoring the goal, and he just runs to the other side because Doué gets the ball, and that's what happens, right? I think that what happened with Inter here, and it was a kind of a perfect encapsulation watching that first goal. You saw how the amount of players and talent that that PSG had was kind of just having these defenders going everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was almost like their heads were spinning. And that's what happened to DeMarco. He sees Doué get the ball in front of the goal. He goes, oh, I got to go cover him.
Yeah, yeah.
But Hakimi's just like, oh, okay, I'll just stay right here by myself and get the goal. So
let's talk about some of the key matchups in this game. Because, well, look, we were all... We also expected more from pretty much everybody, and we just didn't get anything. We didn't get anything from Inter Milan, and what PSG did ended up overpowering Inter Milan. So what can we pull up the head to head?
Let's get the head to head.
Okay,
because I want to talk about that just specifically, because when you come into this game, you're Inter Milan, you got Lautaro Martinez, guy who's won a World Cup, who scored the game-winning goal for Argentina in Copa America. He's had so many big goals for Inter. And then you got Desiree Doué on the other side, who is a fantastic young player who, you know, is still a 19-year-old kid, and he's been incredible. His talent's been awesome. In a final, in a moment like this where Lautaro's been there before, you say, all right, he's going to have that moment, right? He'll have that moment where he's going to be able to put a goal away because he's been there. He knows how to play in these moments. Desiree Doué hasn't been in this moment, and he looked more comfortable than Lautaro Martinez has looked in any of the finals that he's ever played.
Yeah, it
was a dominant performance from this kid.
You saw Lautaro, he had the biggest impact of the game, like at the center circle. Like,
that was it. That was
coming
it.
Back, trying to do something, because it's remarkable how it's really like a top-down thing, starting with the goalkeeper, defensive line, midfield, and attackers. But like, because everybody was bad at the back, the midfielders basically uninvolved in the game. And that affects the forwards. Lautaro and Thuram tried his best.
Yeah, he did.
But for a World Cup winner to be that absent in a game, it's almost unheard of.
It is. And it almost, like you said, it was almost just the midfield. He had to come back down and go deep to be able to get the ball.
Right.
They weren't even able to get the ball to him because Vitinha, because Neves, because all these Fabian Ruiz in the midfield were just dominating them, overrunning them completely. We definitely have never seen this much of a dominant performance in a Champions League final. But to the level that we saw it, where, I mean, Çalhanoğlu, Barella, you were talking about world-class midfielders, man. And they were, it was men against boys.
Yeah.
And a lot younger boys won the game. You know what I mean?
The boys looked like the men.
But the men, the boys, it was wild. It really was. And it started in the midfield and it moved forward. And it was just, it was dominant. But look at the graphic. Look at all those zeros next to Lautaro. You got two goals from Doué, an assist, four shots. I mean, it's incredible.
If Lautaro Martinez was a goalkeeper, I'd be like, amazing, damn. Incredible stuff. What a game. What a game for Lautaro.
It's crazy. Crazy.
But yeah, this is, I mean, where do we start? We can praise Luis Enrique. For 100%. You get five goals, you did something right.
100%.
Part of it does feel like, was there anything specifically that Inzaghi did wrong that we can even start? When you lose by five, it looks like everybody.
It's a lot more than just one thing, I think. But
because it's surreal to have the Champions League season that Inter Milan had and then have this game, because there was no other game that looked like this. Even in Serie A, it's just like uncomfortable to kind of experience. And even as like, even if you're a neutral, if you're new to the game and you're, I want to see the Champions League final. What's this all about? This is not a good display of the sport.
No.
So I wonder if there's anything we can pick out about Inzaghi.
If you're Inter, at least when you look back at this game, you'll be like, no, that wasn't us. That was Borussia Dortmund. Look, they're wearing the yellow kits.
Yeah, yeah.
Yellow and black kits. They're not. That's not us. That was Borussia Dortmund taking on PSG. Not
this
us.
A rerun of last year's Champions League.
Yeah, that's what they get for wearing their yellow jerseys and not the white.
I know that wasn't
away kits. That wasn't a good decision.
Yeah, they mentioned it at the beginning of the broadcast. They said that they wanted to wear the third kit because they had lost in their typical away kit two out of three times.
They just wanted to have the excuse. Oh, that's not us, man. That's Dortmund. Look, it's yellow and black.
mean, all right. I mean, then that's the reason. That's why they lost.
Nah. it's interesting, right? Look, I think that it was an interesting decision to have Pavard in that back line mm-hmm. over Bisek. He ends up bringing Bisek on. He gets injured 6 minutes after he brings him on. DiMarco, clearly not the left back he used to be, wasn't good right off the bat. Got subbed off in the 50th minute after giving up 2 goals. There was a lot that went wrong. That's why I don't think it's not really just kind of signaling out one thing. This PSG side is just better. They're just better.
Speaking of that, Stefano, let's go to some Twitter reaction. We have some good Twitter stuff here. Josh, let's pull it up.
Okay, this is HLTC. I recommend this is like a Crystal Palace fan supporter. Or something like that. I don't remember. It says there's a certain irony to Mbappe leaving Paris after 7 years in search of that Champions League golden goose, only for his former team to be an hour away from getting the job done in their first season without him.
It's wild. I wrote it here. I go, stock down, Mbappe. He went ring chasing and he saw all his homies get it instead.
Exactly, bro. He did the not one, not two. He ended up with zero.
Zero.
PSG is an example of a team where the best player had to be sold for the whole club to move forward. And look, I've mentioned this before. I think we were talking about it on the last episode where Mbappe is a great player. He does not necessarily make the team better.
Yeah,
and,
it's fair.
And you see his stats on Real Madrid, most goals most goals for an incoming player. Right. And he is fantastic. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win games because of that. But with all that said, I'll take Mbappe 100 out of 100 times. I'm not complaining.
This is a great one.
What does it say?
The dynasty starts after you, not with you. So good.
I mean, look, you got to have... I wonder how Mbappe feels. I mean, you know, he watched the game.
Of course.
And you would think he would be like...
Happy for his boys?
If they win 5-4, you'd be like, okay. Like, you know, the game was competitive. Like, right. Maybe I could have made a difference or whatever. But 5-0 says, like... We didn't even need you. You actually hurt us. We would have given up more goals without you, with you here.
It's wild because it's not just Mbappe either, right? You start thinking back the last couple of years, it's Messi,
mm-hmm.
it's Neymar. It's a complete culture change going from these superstar players that have been established and, you know, have salaries more than, you know, one day's salary is more than we all make in a year combined. And then they completely changed and said, we're going to these young, talented players. We brought Dembele in as their big guy. And it's really just all about their young talent and academy that has built up these players that now are having the best success. Obviously, the European champions as well.
This is the best one. I'm going to have Josh play it, but it's hilarious. Please watch.
Okay.
Hey, that little boy is playing 3 games at once. Checkmate.
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 Dang.
Love it. It looks like we have another caller in a second, so just be on the lookout for that. But yeah, it's impressive. We're in a place where there's part of me that's just like, man, I just wish this game was better. Like we have to parse why they were so bad. And it's like, I want to give credit to PSG specifically. And how bad Inter Milan were, I feel like outshine how good PSG was. You know what I mean? Like, it's more shocking that Inter Milan were this bad than that PSG were that good.
Someone who's not going to care how bad Inter was.
Really quick, the video link is not working properly. Okay. So let's FaceTime. If we can FaceTime Amin, one of you guys, that would probably be a little better.
What's wrong with it?
The audio was not working for Alexis. So
wasn't hearing us?
No one could hear him on YouTube. It was echoing. So we want to see if we can maybe FaceTime Amin instead of bringing them on the call.
All right. I think I know how to fix it. Get Amin on here, and I think I know what to do. So we'll get Amin. I guess we gave away. We
gave away who it is. Yeah. Amin El Hassan, NBA reporter for Metal Arc Media.
Yeah.
And then he's a huge PSG fan. So My man is pumped up today for sure.
Okay, so Amin, I think 3 years ago?
There he is.
Amin, he did the show and talked about his PSG fandom. And it was something where I didn't realize how dedicated he was to the team.
Oh, yeah.
And when PSG made it to the final, I'm like, yo, Amin, please call in. So let's get Amin on the screen. I think if you just... Cardiff, you just there he is. Okay, everybody can see you, and then everybody sees the reality of TV. Actually, Amin, can you turn your phone sideways? There it is.
There it is. Perfect. Yes.
All right. Carter, on everybody seeing the behind the scenes
live TV, baby.
Go on the video tab, right there, and then hit that little gear icon. And then zoom out and hit, change that max there and put, there.
There we go.
That might be better. Hopefully it doesn't echo. count to three.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Actually, I'm gonna count to 4.
You know what? You see where it says guest on the audio? Mute that. Right there. Yeah. Okay. Now you're good. Now we hear you. And everything. All right. Amin, you good? YouTube, you should be hearing us. Amin, congratulations, brother. Congratulations. Where are you right now?
I'm home. I watched it. I'm really happy. I was in New York earlier today. I flew home and I got to watch this with my dad. So that was cool.
Still echo?
Just a great.
Okay, okay. We're going to FaceTime you. Sorry, man. We're getting an echo. It's good?
We're good.
Okay, we're good.
Okay.
Sorry. All right. You said you watched the game with your dad. I would assume also a big PSG fan.
Yes, he is.
So yeah. What is this? I was going to say, what does this mean? Because obviously we know PSG's dominance across France, but Champions League again was the golden goose that they were always chasing. The Qatari money, everything. This was the game plan from the beginning, and it finally happened. How are you feeling right now?
Incredible. I mean, it's almost shocking the way it happened. It's like this doesn't feel real, and it's not even. You know, a lot of times, sometimes games, they start out close and then 1-0, 2-0, and then it breaks open. This one, from the very beginning, my dad was like, what's wrong with Inter? They're playing weird. They're playing tight. And so very quickly it felt like, oh, man, we're dominating this game. So then it's 1-0, and you're like, okay, but don't get ahead of yourself. You know, it's still a long game. And then it's 2-0, like, we got a cushion here. And then 3, and then 4, and I think, I can't remember who said on the broadcast, it should have been 7. It really should have been 7. Like they got away lucky with only 5. So to have that kind of resounding success, that's not what I could have imagined for the first Champions League in club history.
Dude, it's wild.
Yeah,
it's wild.
I'm happy for you. Apology, we're getting some audio echo and stuff like that. But dude, I just wanted to make sure at least you could let us know how you felt, what it meant. Go for it.
I want to be clear. Christian, I didn't hit you back earlier because I was tense and I was like, I don't want to make any promises.
I get it.
I was just silent. So Stefano hit me. It was like, at that point, it was 4. I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
I texted him maybe like a week ago. I'm like, oh, you want to do it? He said, maybe I might be busy because the NBA Finals. And then I texted you earlier today. And then Stefano was like, let me text him. And he responds to Stefano, not to me. But I get it.
And that's tense. I get it, man. I get it.
All right, Amin, thank you so much, brother. Nixon 7. Let's go.
Be easy, Amin. Take care, man. Congrats.
Cheers, brother. All right. Apologies for the echo
audio
on that.
Issue. Yeah.
All right. But let's move on. Carter, what's the next graphic we're gonna be looking at?
Next year, let's talk about this Inter Milan midfield. Just absolutely overrun this game. So let's take a look at that.
All right. So when it comes to I said it on the show last time. I did say PSG's. I'm gonna pat myself on the back a little bit because I said, you know, you've worked in sports a very long time. I'm a clown who works in this sport. But on the last show, I said like PSG's midfield is going to control the game.
Yeah.
And then when I'm watching the game, and I'm like, hey, hey, the thing I said
was actually happening.
Actually happened. I'm like, why? Do I know? Do I know things? Whatever. But PSG's midfield, was so incredibly dominant. That, I mean, they subbed out. Pretty much, they subbed out three of the midfielders
right.
for Inter Milan, which obviously you're not doing great right. If that's the case. But Inter Milan's midfield, 14 touches.
That's the number right there. 14 touches in the opposition box. I mean, PSG had 31. That number, that's always usually around, you know, a good game. And you're in the 20s at the very least, right? 14 is shameful. PSG had 31 in their box. When you're talking about the three midfielders, that tells you the story right there. They couldn't even get into the box, into PSG's box. They barely even had the ball in their half.
Yeah, I mean, I grasp that PSG's midfield is very good, but
not this. It shouldn't be this much of a difference, right? Where it was like, yo, like, you look at this team, it's like, okay, you have a Barella and you have a, like I said, Çalhanoğlu. Those are two world-class midfielders. Vitinha is the one you'd say, okay, he's world class. The other two are good players. They all three look like they were just on a different level.
Yeah, and it's like you know, you think about players who leave the Premier, like Henrik Mkhitaryan, and you're like, man, like was Arsenal wrong in getting rid of him, or like Manchester United? Did they make a mistake in letting this guy go? And then you get these moments of like, oh no, they were not. No,
that's why they did it.
And you just have some it's just a stinker. I mean, there's no real way to put it. And again, it's like, I want to be celebrating PSG, but this is kind of historic how bad this team was.
And our boy, we talked about DiMarco earlier. Our boy, he's also considered the midfield. DiMarco, man, probably the worst game of his career. At this point, right, we got to like retire the bald spot.
The
bald spot Mohawk's got to go when you have
blonde,
a game like
that. The bleached hair.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's time to retire that. He's got to go back to the locker room after a game like that and just shave it. Like, all right, I'm done.
It's one of those things where, you know, sometimes you bleach your hair to bring attention to a certain part of your face or head or whatever. Right. And it's just like, there's too much going on.
Too much going on, brother. When you get the bald spot here, between the Mohawk, not a good look.
Right. We're not here to shame anybody about bald. People go bald.
Hey, bald spots. They're coming back here.
It happens. But bro, it's like, it's like when, I always think of like Giazzi Zardes from LA Galaxy, who bleached his hair so his grandmother can see him on the pitch during broadcast. And it's like, all right, this is the game where you do not want to be seen.
You don't want to be seen. You're having a game like that. You don't want to be seen. It was a tough one.
Yeah, sure. We did have another stat, the Opto Paulo's stat of where. So Inter, I'll read it out. It'll come up on screen right now. But Inter are the first team to concede 5 goals in the UEFA Champions League final, including the European Cup. It hadn't happened since 1962, Benfica, Real Madrid, which was 5-3. And I mean, but it would have been great. They got three goals, but 5-0 for the team that is supposed to be
the defensive
team, that's their brand.
I think it says something too for the modern game a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Where Inter still kind of plays the old school knockdown, drag out type of game where it's the very defensive. PSG is the new era, right? The Real Madrids and the Barcelonas, kind of teams that play positional soccer, positionless soccer, right? Where they know that the right back, or they know that they want to have a player in this space at the right wing. It doesn't necessarily need to be the right back on the right side. Like, they move, they shift, and they find the space. And kind of having that diversity, it kind of is a win for this new era, of new age of soccer tactics, right? Yeah. That maybe a little bit more positionless, where they know they got to have a guy out on the right, but it doesn't always need to be the right winger out on the right. It could be just the way the game turns, and you fill in and going through the channel on the other side. So it's a little bit of that different type of soccer and different type of attack that is clearly having more success now than the defensive, old defensive drag out type of game.
Right. Ben Skolnick in the chat just said, rumor has it Inter was watching Galaxy highlights from this season prior to
makes
the game.
Sense. That makes sense.
All right. And Ben is an LAFC supporter.
Speaking of the chat, clearly. We picked out a few comments from the chat that we thought were the best ones.
Let's go for it.
Here we go. Josh, you can pull up the first one.
Albana. Good. We got another skull in there. PSG posted a Blangolan banger on what was it? On Inter. But if you're not aware, if you're new to Cooligan's lore, that flag that's behind Stefano right there is a Blangolan flag. And it was a whole, it's a whole country that was created by our supporters, essentially.
I love that.
Michael Raymond said, when it was announced Inzaghi was leaving, I knew Inter were not going to win it. Was he? Is it announced that he's leaving? Oh, okay. Does Michael Raymond know something?
No.
I don't know.
Mike got the insider info here.
Yeah, Mike got the insider info. Hey, let me know. We'll break this on the news over here.
Raimondo. We got the scoop. I haven't heard any of this. We got another one. All right, next
here's
up.
The last one we got for now.
Del Boy said UEFA tried to fix the draw for Barcelona by putting all the English teams in the same bracket despite being seeded. They were desperate to prevent the English teams getting far. Bad one-sided final. It's an interesting thought. I mean,
I always love the there's always someone in the chat saying Barcelona's fixing everything, guys. Barcelona's the one fixing it all.
We got Barcelona in the chat.
Speaking of Barcelona, though, like, how bad is Barcelona to lose to this Inter Milan side?
I know.
To allow eight goals over two legs against this Inter Milan side.
Yeah, we talk about Inter Milan and tactically all these decisions, but Hansi Flick,
yes,
this high line. I mean, it's like when you give up four goals in the first game, you got to say, like, drop the line.
But they've been playing that way. They were playing that way all year. giving up four goals to Inter.
There has to be something, some level of accountability, something of like, right. Okay, we can, if they changed one or two things, they probably win that tie.
Yeah, 100%.
Such a shock. So shout out to everybody in the chat. Thank you so much. Michael Raymond just said, I don't reveal my sources, but my source is me.
Love that.
Okay, you know what, Mike Raymond? You're hired, bro.
I like this one, and I can say this because I work for them. My guy Jay Ramos in the chat saying, CBS Colossal are going to have a hard time arguing said he had defensive dominance on Monday.
I can't wait.
Kind of true. It's kind of true. Bro, my guy Matteo Bonetti, who's defending the Inter defense, is going to win it today.
Not quite, my man.
Yeah, I mean, what does it say about, you know, when Champions League always, whoever the finalists are, always kind of highlight or give us a little bit of a grade of like how every league is doing, right? And I think Serie A, they've been in improvement.
Yeah, 100%.
Obviously, being in Inter Milan, being in two finals in the last couple of years, but this is... We know that the top teams in La Liga, we know the top teams in Premier League is sort of arguable or whatever. But does this change anything for Ligue 1 as a league? Do we think of it any differently?
It's not a farmers league anymore. Nah, look, I mean, it's interesting. The league still has a lot to catch up because PSG is clearly up here, and there's no team that's anywhere near them in Ligue 1. But I think it is positive, right? It is positive for PSG to win the league, to bring a little bit more interest to that league. They clearly need... They had some domestic TV disputes. They had a lot of things going on in France this year with their domestic league. And clearly, PSG is clearly way above the rest. But this does at least bring a little bit more to that league, right? They do have some teams. It's a Lyon. It's Marseille. It's Lille. They have teams that have had a lot of success. This will help them, I think, take a next step. Still a lot of work to go. And PSG's always going to be above every other team in that league.
Right. I mean, look, and
speaking of PSG, who did we guys have as the gulliest, the player of the game?
No.
Right. Who is the player of the game? I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. I'd argue this. It's a shame that this player got subbed out of the game.
Yeah.
There's something. If you put in a performance like this, you deserve the spoils, the joy of that we saw even after he left the game. But Désiré Doué was spectacular. I mean, he got the first assist, and the ball from Vitinha. Again, when we talk about we know this team, Inter Milan, is supposed to be very defensive, but Vitinha putting in those like line breaking passes where like everybody, everybody's just ball watching. Yeah. But Desiree Doué, apparently being a DeMarco magnet because he runs right over to him and passes it off right to Hakimi for an open goal. And then he scores the deflection on Federico DeMarco again. It's one of the things he saw. DeMarco today, he's like, I'm going to go after you, bro. Yeah. Everybody kind of did that.
And I mean, look at these stats. It's 2 goals, 1 assist, 3 shots on target. First player to be involved in 3+ goals in a UCL final. Guys, he's 19 years old. He's 19 years old. I feel like for a lot of casual soccer fans, they maybe were watching the Champions League final today as one of the first big soccer games they've watched. You don't really know who Desiree Doué was. Today was his coming out party for the world, right? For the casual fans. Oh, we got to watch this kid for the next, decade, right? This is going, he is, the French national team has an embarrassment of riches. This might be the next huge superstar to come out of France. 19 years old, had a performance like this in the Champions League final. It's been great all season long. It's, an incredible performance for a player that I think we're going to be watching for the next decade in awe of
him. Yeah, and I think, obviously with Mbappe leaving and all other players stepping up, I would say this: the biggest difference of since Mbappe left is, which has only been a year, but the difference in the team is just like even these young players didn't play with any real pressure on them.
Right. They didn't know how to feel the pressure yet.
Right, right.
They're just playing ball.
It's similar to when Tottenham won their first trophy in ages, right? But was it Madison was saying that he was like, a lot of these players are young. They haven't grown up with this, like, we haven't won and right. The pressure
just playing.
Of playing for Tottenham. And it's kind of similar to PSG. Yeah. Obviously, we all know PSG's the standard and the main goal was always to go for Champions League. But these players didn't grow up with this pressure that they have to win Champions League with, like, Mbappe. And then, Mbappe's there. And then Neymar comes in. And then Messi. And then it's like, it's a clear sign, like, all right, we're trying to help you win this thing, and you're not giving the results that we want. So that's what you saw here. Every single touch, every pass, I always credit to it's a subtle thing, but when midfielders receive the ball and let it run past them and then run and continue to, like, that is, it's a sign that, like, I know where the defenders are. Right. I know I'm going to keep the pace of the ball going. I'm not going to stop it and then turn and it all game. And we saw the back heels. Yeah.
There was a point in the game there. They were just toying.
It's playing a game of EAFC. They're doing tricks out there. So Mike Raymond said, did PSG prove that you don't need quote unquote superstars to win to UCL? I mean, it's a great question. They have superstars.
They have superstars. Yeah, that's the thing. You don't need to have a Kylian Mbappe. You don't have to have the player that's at the very top of the food chain, right? You could have a lot of extremely talented players. And don't get me wrong, like, Doué is going to be at the top of that food chain. Dembele is already near the top of that food chain. Like, they do have Cavada. I mean, we haven't even spoken.
I know.
We've been on the show for like half an hour. We haven't even spoken about Cavada yet.
Cavada,
he maybe have unlocked this PSG side in January and made them the best team in the world, right? He was the final piece to bring them in. You said it's all about the youth, right? We said Desiree Doué, 19 years old. Mayulu, who scored the fourth goal.
The fifth goal.
Another 19. They had 2 19-year-olds score goals in the Champions League final. That's insane.
Stefano,
they had 4 teenagers play for them this season.
What were you doing at 19, bro?
Getting into a lot of trouble. Definitely not doing anything that was positive to society. I can tell you that much.
I love that. I don't know if you've ever seen that Tracy McGrady clip where there's like some streamer say having conversation. He was like, "Oh, I'm too old to blah, blah to do blank or whatever or be famous or something like that." And he goes, he asked Tracy McGrady, he's like, "I'm 24. What were you doing at 24?" He goes, "Averaging 30.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Great. That's what Doué is going to be able to say.
All these guys.
So what were you doing at 19, scoring 2 goals in the Champions League final? What were you doing?
Yeah. I mean, that's right. I'm sorry, but it's all downhill from here, bro.
Yeah, it doesn't get much better than that, brother. Sorry.
No, man. To see the confidence of this team, and we're only really talking about the attackers.
But guys, Twitter is a gold mine today. We got to go back to Twitter.
Let's go.
Real quick.
Let's go. Please, let's go.
Please. We gotta react to a couple more tweets. Here's the first one.
Okay. All right. Well, we can't play the music. I think we're gonna get in trouble. No. I'll go. I'll go. But yeah, this is what is it?
I love it.
I love it. I couldn't see the thing. Anyway, okay, now I can see that. That is
Sam Smith.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, you're gonna get cooked if you put in a performance like that,
and you got a haircut like that too. I mean, just be real.
He said, "Give me the Sam Smith." The barber said, "Say less."
Say less, baby.
One more.
What's this one?
You might go depending on the school.
Oh, this is Drewski.
Yes. Run way away.
Bro, yeah, white face Drewski.
Twitter's going to be a gold mine all night long today.
It should be, man. Yeah, this is, look, there's going to be lots of jokes for DeMarco specific. I was saying that we're highlighting the talking about the issues with Inter Milan, and we're talking about the attack for PSG, but the defending for PSG, I think is a little like kind of underrated. Pacho and Marquinhos and Marquinhos, who I didn't even realize at this point, been at PSG for 12 years.
Yeah, he's a legend.
He might be 22 years old. I don't know how long. I'm surprised. Like when you think of PSG, you just don't even really think of players being.
He's the only one I think that's. I don't know. Is he over 30? I think they've only played one player over 30 all season long at PSG, which is again wild to think about, right?
Sure.
But he's been he's the captain. He's kind of been the leader there. The Pacho kid, the Ecuadorian international, he's real good. And he had a huge play in the game where I think, he gets the block on the one shot that came from the outside. I can't remember who took the shot now for Inter. But he came up big moment. Again, another young kid who is just starting his international career with Ecuador and now starting for PSG in a Champions League final. It's wild.
Yeah, I mean, a credit, obviously, to Luis Enrique just for getting this. There was a little, given how the league phase went, there was not real any thought that this was the team that would even get to the final. And he just did enough. And we start to ask some questions about the Champions League format now, because I think one of the talking points was who gets home and who gets away. Like the teams that finished higher in the table didn't necessarily, because of the draw, didn't necessarily have that second leg be at home. And that could have been a difference. You know, who knows if, obviously the Arsenal Real Madrid wasn't a huge deal, but the Arsenal PSG, a tough situation and stuff like that. For a team to finish so low on the table and then get the second leg at home, it provides a bit of an advantage, not necessarily an excuse.
Yeah, they'll probably have some tweaks to some things with the Champions League. I did like the format. I thought it was cool. I thought it was different. I thought that we got where every game mattered, right? I feel like a lot of times when you had the group phase, you know, some of those last couple games for some teams just didn't matter. They could rotate. I feel like every game mattered till the very end in that league phase. I liked it. But yeah, you could see some tweaks. See, like maybe, if you finish towards the top, you should get home field technically, or so second leg home field, right?
Yeah, there should be some clear.
I like it. I can get behind that.
Yeah, I was in general, as far if we can just wrap up and conclude this whole Champions League season, it worked out well, like as far as providing entertaining games. And even though, like, I did like that teams that were at the bottom of the table or mid or that were fighting for a spot were like PSG, were
Manchester City.
And the idea of the group, like the previous group stage, you would face every team twice, and but now it's just like the unpredictability of, like, you play a team that you probably never played before, or maybe the last time you played them was like 8 years ago or something like that. And the unpredictability of it was kind of fun. And even we were talking about Ligue 1, and we had some pretty cool stories in with Brest, and I had to emphasize the Brest on CBS. That's what you have to do.
I guess it's like written in our contract somehow, bro.
Bring up Brest as much as possible. Okay, we need our SEO numbers up.
Yes.
But then was it Lens?
Lille.
Lille.
Yeah.
Who also had a really, really great... so I think in that sense, they did a good service to Chili Gunn.
And you had, like, you know, Liverpool was so good throughout the league phase, and then they get to, they draw PSG right when PSG gets Cavada, and things start to unlock for them. Sure. And you're like, well, this Liverpool's supposed to be the favorite here, but this PSG side is on another level, and look what it happens. They don't only win that fight. Win that tie, they go on and win the whole thing.
Do you remember, they changed the rule recently, but remember it used to be Champions League cap ties?
Yeah.
And you couldn't, like, you couldn't play. Napoli wasn't, they weren't.
Now it's about, like, registered. Napoli wasn't in any European competition.
Exactly. That's why they were able to do that.
It
wasn't an issue, but.
They would have had still some issues doing that, like being able to register the player coming in January.
Yeah.
But since he was in a European competition, it didn't matter.
Yeah, so. It is fascinating how, like, bringing in a player in January and for that second phase, for the knockout phase of the Champions League, could change, your fortunes quite a bit. And he was quite the addition. So
the chat is acting up again. So we got to go back to the chat.
All right. What are they doing?
Well, we got this first one.
Crimson Pizza. You can read this one. Go for it.
All right. Crimson Pizza says, but did you know that Alexis was working in the factory from the moment he walked out of the womb?
As Alexis, I think he had his first like factory job at like 11. This is like one of those. Alexis is like one of those, grandparents that was like, I walked to school in the snow uphill backwards.
Sounds about right. Yeah. Sounds about right.
He's had the worst life. All right. What's next?
And we got a couple more for you.
Ben again said Twitter working harder than Inter did. Yeah,
facts. Facts.
Putting in work,
absolutely.
Bro.
Absolutely.
Where's our trophy? Michael Raymond said Marquinhos is the founder of PSG, bro.
Yeah. This new era of PSG, yeah, he's been there since the beginning, right?
Sure,
he's been
you need players to pass tradition
the
on
torch.
To that kind of next generation, or even just players that joined the team, and Marquinhos is clearly that. So this is something exciting for PSG. I'll be honest, it's not necessarily the feel good story. It's not like PSG haven't spent billions of dollars to win to be in this exact moment right now.
No,
it's like, all right, they got there.
I think it's cool though because of the way it all happened, right? Where they were just like, you know what? We're shedding the Mbappes, the Messis, and the Neymars,
right?
And we're gonna do it with some young French players that we're gonna bring up through the academy. So I think that's a cool story, and it's kind of a, you know, kind of a, like you said, it's, you don't need an Mbappe to win it.
Sure.
You just need talent, man.
Yeah. Who's the main I don't know, the president? I forgot his name, but I've seen him on
Nassar, Nazar.
I've seen him on a lot of shows throughout this Champions League season, doing interviews and stuff like that. And there was a change of tone from previous seasons to now. He used to come off as like, whatever, I don't know exactly his role particular, but he came off as like the rich guy that like, hey, come on.
I mean, he is.
Yeah, he is a rich guy.
Very rich guy.
But he came up as the rich guy of like, let's get things done. We're trying to do this at PSG. And the last 3-4 months, he's just come off as like more humble, a little softer, a little bit like believing in the
project, the
process. Yeah.
The process. It's going to be another Philadelphia 76ers, trust the process.
And that, I'll be honest, that part of it, just watching those interviews recently, I'm like, hey, it seems like a good guy. Which I'm like, I usually don't look at millionaires and be like, this is a good guy, but he seems like a good guy.
This is like a good guy. I mean, it is cool. I mean, I guess, like you said, this has been their dream for the longest time. Failed for a long time, right? Failed for a long time to get this goal, the goal for them. And League One is just a... It's every year for them at this point, right? So the Champions League was always the goal. What do you got, Carter?
All right, our last thing here. Give us your if you could explain it in one word or in one phrase, your sentiment for the Champions League as we say goodbye to another Champions League.
My sentiment. I mean, it's difficult to not... Disappointing is not the word, but just like underwhelming. I'm going to say underwhelming. And look... I put a lot of stock on the final, and I'll say this: a lot of Champions League finals are usually not great.
Right,
it's just for whatever reason we just don't have like semifinals and quarters can just have these insane. Maybe the nature of the two legs or whatever. And then final, sometimes you can have a 1-0, you can have a 5-0 like this. And so it's like a little bit underwhelming, but I'm not using that word with that much gravitas. I think the Arsenal Real Madrid and having Declan Rice score, it provided some really, really good moments.
Yeah, I still think that the Champions League overall provided amazing moments. We had a lot of drama. We had some upsets. So we had a little bit of everything. Yes, the final is underwhelming, but underwhelming in a different way, right? We've gotten underwhelming finals where it's a defensive, boring 1-0 or a 0-0 that goes to extra time. We've gotten a lot of those. I mean, going into this game, I think there was 0-0 was the score at halftime. 5 of the last 7 finals was 0-0 at halftime. Clearly, this wasn't that.
Yeah, yeah.
It was only, so I'll say it was, I'm emotional because this Champions League is over, because it's sad, because it's the best competition in the world. But I will look at it back and say it was overall a good edition of the Champions League with a not so great final.
Okay, fair enough. All right, everybody. Thank you to the chat. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. If you're listening to this, thank you as well. So shout out to everybody who contributed in the chat. We're going to be doing some of these live shows a little bit more, especially in the summer. A lot of big tournaments coming up. Yes. Gold Cup, Club World Cup. Yep. You just mentioned Champions League, greatest tournament. Just ignoring the Club World Cup.
just still throwing it to the side.
Club
there.
World Cup sitting back there like, hey, I'm here. Stefan Fasaro of CBS Sports and Morning Footy and Scoreline and everything. Thank you so much for hanging out with me.
Always.
Hopefully Alexis is perfectly drunk and as drunk as you need to be.
I was going to say, like, what's the level we think he's getting to tonight? Is he celebrating PSG style with like champagnes tonight, or is he going to take it easy? What are we thinking?
Yeah, I mean, Alexis weirdly can. I mean, you know, big dude, you expect handle there, but when he gets there, he gets. He's there. So shout out to everybody watching again. Like I said, shout out to producer Carter and Josh on graphics. Yes. We got the graphics this time around. So everybody, say put the W's in the chat for Carter and Josh for all the work behind the scenes. So we appreciate it. So shout out to everybody, the whole Yahoo Sports team for making this happen. We appreciate it. And we'll be back on Monday. Alexis will be here. He'll tell us all about the wedding. I'm sure he'll intro the show that way. So we'll see you on Monday, everybody. Stefano, again, thank you so much.
Of course.
We'll see you, everybody. Peace.